I'd like to welcome Vice Chair Senator Buzos, Senate President Kevin Meyer, Senator John Yaz, and Senator Gary Stevens. Thank you for being here. Thank you also to Recording Secretary Kerry and the LIO operator, Matt. This afternoon we have a Labor Congress committee that I recess, so I'm going to adjourn that meeting. My name is adjourned, and I will call this meeting into order at 6:05. And tonight we will be continuing public testimony on the governor's revenue-generating income tax proposal. And we'll be hearing from Alaska. If there are any member questions, we have Brent Evans on us here from the administration who can provide any answers that I might come up. So with that, I'm going to go right to the public testimony. And at the Glen Allen LIO, we have Jane Brown. Jane, if you can just provide your name and then your comments to the committee, and if possible, please keep your comments as close to 2 minutes as possible so that those other Alaskans waiting at various LIOs around the state can have the same opportunity to testify. Thank you.
This is Jane Brown, Democratic Legislative from Alaska. Thank you for allowing me to tell the area of the voice of the opposition to Section 134. As you heard, the charge regarding SB 134, it's only to have no control of the government and the First of all, our first policy was to issue our state and attempted to issue it approximately $200 million per year. Now, I don't know if you're going to be that some general being hired to calculate that there's $3.33 billion in net wages out there. You can get the $3.33 billion. Where is the documentation to support this? And how will the state collect this estimated tax from the out-of-state workers, the contractors, the subcontractors, the unions? You know, straightforward until Alaskans and all the rental that come from out-of-state workers, but realistically, by the time they deduct their dependents, their spouses, and spouse, their union pensions, their medical, the tax the state in their own state, what will be left for Alaska to collect? And how much will the bureaucracy cost?
Going up. It's brutal spending with no
John Pratt.
Hello, Senators. The name is Joe Cox. I own a business and I resident about being a long-time Alaska resident. I think your poorest choice that you have in front of you is to institute an income tax. An income tax is a good incentive to productive people. And with the declining fiscal climate, we call the productive folks who need a job. People don't move around. Due to tax obligations, they can move to other states that don't have taxes. And I wonder if any mention of what the possible cost of what this might be, and then can also people who move to totally off the economic gain of the tax we have. So I think that's something that really needs to be watched for. Also, people are simply incensed that outside workers don't pay taxes, they also use very few services. And I would say by and large, Alaska residents use services pretty heavily. If you don't work on our slope, and if you don't really work for a team, but other than that, you don't need as many services. So they really aren't much of a cost. And I would hate to see people pointing fingers for someone else to pay. I would suggest that the previous person is serious and great spending. I've not heard that so far. We all see in our communities places where spending can be cut. And don't just do emotions and arguments that make it always the most popular thing. There are lots of places that can be cut. And I think you have to do that before you look at any tax or any other revenue. You've got to be serious about that. And frankly, a lot of the people that were there when the spending got out of control, they still there now. I think it's your responsibility to make cuts. Again, I think the last option should be income tax, and perhaps we will have to look into some form of the permanent fund would be my choice over a sales tax, but certainly over an income tax. But the first thing you have to show the people of Alaska, if you're serious, I don't think the governor's choice is serious much. And I'm hopeful that we'll see
how it's going to come out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Next, we will go to the canine aisle. We have four individuals sign up. I'll take Rachel, then Daniel, Fred, and then Jenny. Rachel?
Hi, my name is Rachel Landor. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I currently call it the mother of my home. I'm very concerned about the additional burden of the income tax in place on hardworking families in Alaska. The taxpayers are being called upon to subsidize the fiscal irresponsibility of the state. Not paying the taxes to offset the budget shortfall when it is done clear will cost, if any, probably the overall state budget. The Alaska Constitution guarantees public education, safety, and well-being. All other programs are optional. This broad definition has allowed for the social welfare and state programs to be out of control. The state can no longer afford this. It is now time to assess the need in funding of these programs rather than tax. In order to reduce the deficit, we need to shrink government, limit programs, and stop spending money we do not have. Less spending bills for less than families. I challenge you to members of the Liberal Congress today to have the courage to cut the programs not guaranteed in the Constitution. The last 30 years of high oil prices have allowed state government and state welfare to grow to see it in unchecked proportions. Time to cut the welfare state before asking for our money. You must take money to consider the permanent fund where all Alaskans will have much to lose if the working class does. Let your word of working people have their tax them.
Thank you for
your time, Daniel.
Thank you.
Next,
Daniel
Lynch. Daniel Lynch, downtown Chicago. Being an overstation advocate is an issue because I take a personal income tax. I'm in favor of 100%. An income tax gets everybody involved. There are many people who have done real well on the state and our resources to contribute to the environment. For example, career. I really like these. I was one of those people that came up here for construction this summer and went back to my old state. I did not have to pay a tax when I got back to my old state. During this time, I'd always been early in the airport. I took a year off the mainland, so I used the ferry system, I used the road, I used the libraries, I used the DMV, and I did a lot of travel on this notion that people from our city workers, the local workers, because it's also tourist people, these are construction workers like myself, and I am willing to contribute to the state, no matter how bad it gets on this day here, and I'm willing to do my part. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Fred Sermon.
I'm Fred Sermon. I live in Fort Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, George Pierce.
from the store?
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm going to state that we're plant efficiency, Chemical 134. Our state is, I think that is extremely low, and the most right now your state is rolled with no one waiting to get in. You will be crying on when your legislators don't refuse to get this unsustainable budget. There's usually 40 people who last day expect us to help bail you out, and I really resent that. I try to keep my own results up, and I know you're expecting the rest of us to fix this. And income tax will put more money burning on those of us who work and live in Alaska. Army says that our family will be expected to help bail out massive overspending, especially when we're seeing true deep cuts. At this point, the only deep cut I'm seeing is to our family's income. So we'll be penalized for working hard to support our family, which stands big as large cost of thanks to us. If you put the dangerous people here, I think it will never end. It will continue to increase as spending continues. With the example of this right now, with all the tax increases that the governor is proposing, we need you to stand up for us. Stop this bill. Do not support it. Instead, go through the budget and make cuts. We need our legislators to decrease the cost of administration, lower one of the best welfare benefits in the country, demand that the university system be self-sustaining, and make changes in our disastrous education system that points at us being aligned and performant. Until this time, taxing will not solve any of the problems that we have. It will only feed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shannon. Next, we're going to Claudia Galeano and Pat Branson.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak, and for all of you senators for your hard work, especially this year, as you like to do. I'm the mayor of the city of Kodiak, but also on the Alaska Municipal League Board. And we have put together a sustainability plan. I just want to speak about that a little bit, of course, it includes taxes and cuts. So we believe that you, the leader of our state, find ways to lower the cost of government. You must also identify ways which you can raise revenues. This can only help us proportionally under drug laws and cuts around restraint borders here to do that. On the credit base of our state, that will cause massive economic dislocation issues. The choices made by the legislature and the administration will have a huge impact on the liabilities of each municipality. Local governments have only three ways in which to raise revenue: taxation through sales or property fees, and revenue passed down from the federal or state government. The revenues from the federal or state government decrease, that must be filled through taxation and or increase in fees for municipalities. We have the ability to let the governor have his limit for fiscal situation review as an opportunity to rethink how we spend money. Local governments must still continue to provide basic and essential services to their citizens. So with the income tax, it captures those state employees who earn down and leaves the state at 20% of the total Alaska
Bush.
Yes, thank you very much. This is a Tom Walker in the Bush Alliance. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm with the 136, and I'm with the 34, and I would suggest that public hearings be reheld after considerably more information is provided to the public on the other, the income that might be available if this was income tax and corporate was under also all the other corporations, and mostly the levels of the minimum North Dakota tax of 30% or the median, which is slightly over 40% of the federal income tax. I would request that this bill be modified to at least show the next lowest income tax of North Dakota at 30% of the federal rate, and that that be extended to provide an additional 30% on any existing corporate income tax. And I think it's necessary to have such a progressive tax instead of using the permanent fund, because if the proposal to limit the permanent fund to $1,000 to essentially half the check from last year, according to DMR, the estimated tax on our couple of problems living with two children would have to pay, would lose $4,280 in permanent fund income, and the person paying a share of taxable income of $100,000 would just pay $465 more at $4,753. So that's fully inequitable. It's a lump of meat take attitude, which will end up costing the state more in services to those lower income groups in other forms, in medical subsidies and income subsidies. And truly, we need to preserve the permanent fund to allow us to have an economy that is based on something other than oil, and to provide for a progressive tax that includes both an increase in the corporate and income, personal income tax, and possibly a seasonal sales tax. So a good portion of this burden is borne by the out-of-state people who use the state services and facilities, like the Fish and Game Management for the fisheries industry, or the production tax credits to the oil industry that brings some people from out of state and corporations from out of state. They all need to pay their fair share, and we need to have a progressive tax that doesn't hurt those that take money out of the pockets of children and low income people and elderly people on fixed incomes. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Please provide us more information so we can make rational judgments and comment on the legislation that you propose.
Thank you very much. And Cindy Squire, are you also an encourager, or have you skipped out?
I am here. I'm sorry for asking you a different question. Squire, I am with County Anchorage, and thank you for this opportunity to comment on SB 134. I'm generally in favor of SB 134. I realize it will need more fine-tuning to reduce some of the inequalities. However, I've been in Alaska since 1978, and there was a pipeline and more than last year was done. And I think the worst thing that we can do, while I support the government's plan entirely, I think the worst thing that we can do is try and put the money one thing to solve the problem. I think so, that we need to do some everything, stop the problem. And I am in favor of this policy income tax. I'm also in favor of a local sales tax for youth developers. I think small reduction in oil tax credits, future ones, we've already seen a portion of the permanent funds that are going to help fund government as well as retaining some of that, the residents, That's pretty obvious when we cut the loss of freedom. That should be a second question from the income tax, which if you're free or under, I think we know it's going to happen. Now, 10 years, 20 years, it will happen. Let's make it happen now because it's already too late. Thank you, Emily. Next, from the Bethel, Ohio, Mary Norwalk.
I'm pretty sure we have not decided a
mentioned on the numbers that at this moment do not have anyone waiting, any of the LIOs are out yet, however, we have noticed the meeting until 8 p.m., so I will stay here for 8 p.m. In the meantime, I was hoping Cashier, if you could come forward and perhaps respond to the question that Mary had asked about the Social Security and perhaps the suspended to train you. And we'll take a brief break until you come forward.
that we are going to see how that forward and that welcome Commissioner Hoffman and again Mr. Sparrow's major information was in valid testimony and wanted to give you an opportunity to perhaps respond to the comments so far and in particular the question posed by the area who's calling from Bethel.
I do appreciate the comments that were heard tonight the spectrum of opinions on taxes and just stay here. It's good to hear what people think about what we've proposed and I think it's not clearly about difficult the decisions that are going to be made. As far as answering the specifics of the question of basic on the social security, I'm going to turn over to Deputy Greg Spanos and answer
those. Thank you.
Mr. Spanos? I'm here by Ms. Boss, Deputy Director of the Tax Division. And tax questions are always difficult. The specific question on whether Social Security is taxable, the answer is it depends. I don't have the exact range in my head, but I believe it's around 35,000 for each guy, over 35,000. Oh, sorry. I'm actually going to return basically gross income plus some additions. Tax, infinite taxable minus to deductions equals adjusted gross income. But if that number is over, I think it's 35,000, then half of your Social Security income will be taxed. But it does, and then there is a top range that we don't call that to
is that information you can provide in writing to the committee and all good and ensure that?
Yes, it is.
Senator Stevens, followed by Senator Diesel.
Producer, just a moment of pressure. If you give us a timeline, if we were to pass this session, when will it, how would everything fall into place? But I mean, when will we begin collecting taxes? When will we begin hiring for some of these?
We would have to have policies in place to start withholding by January 1st of 2017. We would have to give it up. Tickets have on board for collection and audits by January 1st of 2018. We wouldn't there would be withholding in 2017, but the money would actually be available for use until the taxes are completed January 1st, 2018.
So, there's a question about a point of require that there would be withholdings in throughout the 2017 year, and those would be transferred to the state. We do not require it, sorry. How does that work?
That's just the first thing that is correct.
Okay, well, we should play a role in it. I'm sure this answer is
basically the audit.
The audit says that we're not taxing outsiders, certainly, and the girls of salary in Alaska would be taxed in Alaska. And they would not pay that tax if they say you lived in Oregon. Oregon, they would pay to Alaska. And I think this is a misunderstanding of that, like that somehow you would not pay the full tax here, but it would be from there. Could you just clarify that information?
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Stevens, the states have different ways of apportioning tax burden if you have. If you're residing in one state and earning income in another state. And in the simplest sense, simplest case, if somebody lived in Oregon and they had an employee, just like in Texas, and you know, or the others, and make money in Alaska, they'd be able to tax the money that were made in Alaska, and the individual could take their credit against their state income tax in Oregon. So that's where we see the full share of Oregon that actually was in place. And because most states they already have a personal income tax, and because all the zero sum gain for those employees is that they pay the tax in Alaska and pay it to the state that they live in. But if there's no tax in Alaska, there's no credit for making the employer tax, and the ones that are in Alaska to Oregon. Reverse that down now. Actually, two stories that's only put out for you to be at the time of interest. If somebody doesn't take taxes, that doesn't have a personal income tax. And any work in Alaska, there may be some action that you do to make the taxes in Alaska. So, protect the residents in this. So we actually did some action in Florida, the last ones that work in Texas, and actually did one in Texas. So
I heard the officers was asked earlier, about federal workers, how does that work? Your federal employee would further than information state from their employees.
You can look different than I know, sometimes I can get the correct status.
And then I'll say, also, in order to the tax division, federal employees also have a W-2, just like everyone else, and they were Americans, performing to the state, depending on residency of your employee. So, with the Fed, I don't know that military can have different residency than where they're stationed. So, if they're an Alaska resident, then they'll be doing their tax in Alaska.
This is also a newsletter. I get lots of emails from constituents asking, well, this is one of the newsletters featured on the Dallas Couples on the income tax. So I've got a lot of questions. I sent them to your department, and that was the answer that we have their pensions and government, all those kinds of things would be taxed. One question I didn't ask, but very kind of raises it in my mind, if corporation demands would be taxed, is that true?
That's a good question. Dividends are generally tied to unearned income, so it depends. If you're paying tax, you have taxable income, and your dividends on top of that, generally the SBR tax. However, if the dividend is your only income, it depends on how large that dividend is and may not be taxed.
Sure, is it an income threshold, of course. And the more folks that have tax liability, of course, their current fund dividend would be added to their tax liability,
then it would be taxed as well. That's
the charity that
is from
general
use. Okay. I have another question for you.
So, you're
going to see that question a little bit more here. You know, I have a question for you. So, if you're just trying to figure out a death tax, could you help us understand what that process is? First of all, just being on the I understand, I believe, based on some comments of Karen Winnick, the federal death tax, or the inheritance tax, or the estate tax, is the threshold is currently at $10.8 million. And so, if you receive a dividend above that amount, you would pay tax federally, and because the proposed tax in Alaska is 6% of the federal tax, you pay 6% of that amount. Over $10.8 million, and that's for American family dividends. So, I have that for the percent of our share, my understanding of that. And also, slightly less than the fact is that the state has been saved tax currently on the books, and we see very, very few returns filed as a dividend that amount. So, now that the bill is out there because we're facing the constitutional limits of the state currently.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These are hardly millionaires, nonetheless, I just know what some people think. When you presented earlier this week, you shared the information, this is almost that 45% approximately of the Alaskans have no tax liability. So, So you're saying that 45% of the residents will go below that minimum income for taxation, and the ESOPs are going quite low.
Well, through the chair, Senator Diesel, the number that we gave was an estimate based on what the IRAs, the first, the U.S. population base, percentage of the U.S. population base. And so we assume that the Alaskans follow that trend of 44.5% would not pay income tax. We're not certain about that yet. Your question, well, I actually have that information.
Sorry. Cool. So, well, we actually have two individuals online from the Arizona Lantern, but today we do like to provide your testimony about business analysis background information. Then we'll go on to Janet.
Thank you. This is David DeKinney, and I would like to speak in favor of the estate income tax. I will leave the summary of this. This should be based on the types of income tax, the federal income tax, and be calculated by reference to the basis of that tax. It should be based on the ability to pay. It would, in most cases, be discretion from the federal income tax. Money that could be collected as the income is paid and received. It could be collected from the many out-of-state workers who help the money to the state. In fact, some other states who did have tax maybe tax of income, as learned in Alaska. The tax could be phased in over time. Could be levied on all sorts of income, wages, rents, interest, and dividends. But it could produce income from outside the state. And then finally, there should be a base level for inflation. We recognize that many people in the state will be very inefficiently gather a little or no exchange of money, especially to get up the state.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm speaking in support of SB 134. The ceremony of exclusion is being held during this hearing. But it is double because I'm a man with rather unfair special support for the income tax. Its main reason was that the income tax is fair. People with more income pay more than those with limited income. Alaska has a big range from tax until 18 because it was decided to American way to make money for public purposes to be made better money. An income tax would not harm the economy because those with higher income would continue to make normal expenditures. In fact, it would benefit the economy as it is a state fund necessary to pay for the increased needs for public expense services that go with population growth. We have to have another source of revenue, but not the sales tax. The sales tax should be reserved for municipalities. And finally, as you all know, the income tax would capture the income that is earned by the funded approximately 20% of workers who earn income in Alaska other than the United States and stay there. So, thank you very much for the opportunity and to listen to your deliberations.
Thank you very much, Janet. I'm happy to grab some of his comments from the off-net, Frank Kelsey from Alaska.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Frank Kelsey. I'm calling it from Alaska, Alaska. I'm a first next year resident of Alaska, and most of that time I've spent in Alaska, both charter and Aleutian Islands. But for a long time, I've been an elected official for over 20 years. He currently serves on the State Council and School Board. I'm calling in to testify representing myself today. in support of SB 134. I think that Oregon is in a very serious situation. I think we truly need to raise revenues, and we need to raise revenues now. It is, it's estimated that an income tax could bring in $200 million. It's not the total answer. I believe that some use of capping the dividend is going to be needed as well. And I support most of what I see in 128 and Paragraph 114. So I think we've got to come up with all the alternatives we have under discussion to address this issue. We can't cut our way out of it. We already know that. We are, in rural Alaska, we would be able to sweep up the country a long time ago. We're going to have another step, BHF and G. We lost the fuel and muscle steps to get back to Kodiak. We lost our whole trip in the classroom, which had families that that hurt the population at the school. We have a school district that's facing a $200,000 deficit on state money fund they have to have. And so we can't see that step in and help out. So we're going to be running 2 years shortly. We're not only the people in the nation, and we have one seafood inspector for the largest fish processing plants in the nation, plus offshore fleet, that is over 100 capture processors that haven't been inspected. So we have no water quality person. We have no health and human services person. But we have to address revenues. We can't cut our way out of this. I think looking at paying the income tax and looking at 114 and 128, we need to bring this back to recovery. And I think I'll close my comments there and make a great opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. And I guess now we'll go back to Commissioner Mr. Spangles for your response to the earlier question. Senator Hazel, do you want to speak back to that processing?
Sure. I was wondering that we were talking about the minimum threshold of income. Correct.
Senator Hazel, for sure. As with many tax questions, the answer is it depends. But I was asking what you're talking about. Children under 16, independence, all of that. I'm referring to the documentary, what we call the patch matrix. And it's the title, but it's online as well available. Proposed policy of income tax is 6% of total federal tax. If you go to tax division, you can't come up with really great names for the documents. But for married with no children, that threshold is already $30,000. If you're married with 4 children, the threshold is $70,000. If you're a single with no children, on our matrix, the $20,000 is taxable. We don't know what that determined would come off. Additionally, I provided earlier today the community something dependent on statistics of income. It's basically explained to SOI from the IRS website. And on that, they break out by state. And so for Alaska, they show the total federal tax reported to them by Alaska residents. And so this doesn't show a threshold because you can't see the very small dollars paid of the between $1,000 and $10,000 in income. There would be $5 average per taxpayer in that level. But most would pay zero. So it's not even paying. At the $25,000 range, the average Alaska tax would be $40, but again, may fall below zero. You want to say the sea tax threshold at the $25,000 to $50,000 range, so it can rise a little bit, and of course, it goes up significantly after that.
Thank you for that. And part of the reason for asking you a question that I know you answered before, because you went through that chart of the family for a while ago, is what new folks listening tonight. So thanks for repeating that. Now, one of the things you also shared with us the other night when you originally prepared the bill, presented the bill to us, was that you didn't have the IRS numbers of county houses or each category, but it sounds like you have them now, and they're publicly available, it sounds like.
Yes, I agree. So the information that we have isn't broken down by taxpayer. It's aggregated information. Of course, it is broken down by levels. And it's publicly available. You can go to the IRS website and look for statistics of income, which is SOI. You can search that account. Then you can look at all MS or state by state. You can look at it's broken down by several different ideas by income levels.
So going back to the estimate of 45% of Alaskans not having the tax liability under the state income tax, does that charge help you refine that percentage, or is it again still just a guess?
This tells us how many filings there are. It tells the numbers of taxpayers that file, which on this report is 359,000. It's 359,000. The dollars on this chart are in thousands. The number of filers is real number, so it's not actually going to be that old. And then the number of taxpayers is 285,000. So you can see that there were roughly 100,000 that didn't pay in tax.
Thank you. That's very interesting. So less than 300,000 of our population of 700,000. Of course, that includes children. I get that. But would be taxpayers. That's interesting.
And that's the households. So you could have very fine majority of your tax returns received. So I checked with another state, their population similar numbers before Vermont, and they said that they received 450,000 returns on average a year. And if, I can't remember the exact population, it was pretty similar to ours. And so we estimated that we would receive between 400,000 and 450,000 returns. That includes, obviously, there's an element of the filing and the tax in Vermont, as well as Maritime Joint, or Maritime Separate, or a certain number of returns received.
I see. Okay, great. Thank you.
Where it talked a lot about passing different rates. The U.S. Supreme Court is determining that it is unconstitutional to discriminate based on residency. And that's what the state's interpreted.
Thank you.
I think it is reducing the current fine from the bottom. Thank you.
member to contribute. There are people who are willing to help with the contributing. Irish people over half hour and not be like, they are lovely, they cannot contribute to the portion of the problem the state is facing. Yes, it's a choice. When it goes to buy things, doesn't get to buy, doesn't get to those choices. And it's overwhelming the fact that so many people living more than what those 50 people are. If you make up to $10,000 a year, you don't have to pay the rent for it, typically to call upon it here.
Thank you for your testimony, Diane. Our next up is James Squires in rural Bethlehem.
Yes, my name is James Squires. I'm an article on Session 2 of Alaska. I'm also a CPA. I'm glad to hear that Mr. Alpec was there because I'm glad Mr. Alpec has had the 3-day tax test that took place in Fairbanks where they were doing the Stillagap model to hide shift causes the state spending $20,000. You might have heard of this because I didn't understand me. When I had a self-partner and I was saying maybe get the public good down to $4.5 million, I was referring to the Goldsmith price achievement model. So I have to have an appearance headline to look back.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else on the LIO or online out there? So are there any questions of committee members for the commissioner or Mrs. Adams? So we'll go ahead and thank all of those lessons called in to testify today, and also thank the administration, Commissioner Hoffman, and Mr. Sanders for being here and answering some questions, and I appreciate that, and also to the members who are here. I'll go ahead and close public testimony on Senate Bill 134, and we will have a meeting tomorrow at 1:30 to 3:30, and with that, we'll